These are like those that hear the word. They respond with great enthusiasm, but they're such shallow soil of character that when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arrives, there's nothing to show for it.
What? I had to like re-listen to it. He's looking down the whole time. Now, I can't find what he's talking about. But boy, that sounds a lot worse than what we see in, you know, the King James of Mark 4:16. But he uses this as an example that people can get saved and then they fall away. So they were never really saved. Hey, welcome back to Bible Line. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez. Today we're doing another Pastor Reacts video. This link was sent to us and we edited the link down just for consistency, but we will do our best to make sure you see the original message in its content. I always encourage you to do the research for yourself. The way these series work is people send us videos and sometimes they're short, sometimes they're long. And for the sake of making sure that everything is timely and that we bring out the main points and that there's no contradictions, our editor, Trent, does all that work and then presents it to me. So I'm able to look at the unedited and the edited version. And I think today, like we've done with many of the videos in the past already in this Pastor React series, you're getting a very good understanding of where a person is coming from theologically. And it's important to understand what a person says is important and needs to be measured. I hold myself to that same standard. It's actually one of the things that I have in the back of my mind all the time. Make sure that I am consistently rightly dividing the Word of God. And I think a lot of people out there don't do that. There's a lot of different thoughts, a lot of different ideas and opinions. And at the end of the day, people change. The Word of God doesn't change. So we as Bible teachers and pastors should not shift on our teaching of the Word. And today we're going to be looking at a guy named Greg Laurie. Now, I want to be completely direct and transparent. I'm not very familiar with him, so I've done some research about his statement of faith. And by some research, folks, I mean literally less than 5 minutes, because very quickly you can see where his view is. He has a church called Harvest. They have a campus in California and I think in Hawaii as well. Just a quick look at their website. I Google searched Greg Laurie Gospel Message and I came to this statement of faith. Before we even get into the clip, you need to understand where he's coming from about salvation. We will have the website linked somehow. Maybe we can even get this right on the screen for you. But it's point number 4 on their statement of faith. Okay? And it says this: we believe that for the salvation of lost and sinful humanity, regeneration by the Holy Spirit is essential, and that repentance from sin and acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is the only way to come into a relationship with God. I think this is so interesting because the work of salvation does not have anything to do with the relational aspect between the sinner and God. It has to do with the justification of that sinner. It has to do with the payment of sin. Is a relationship something that happens afterwards? Well, yes, in the fact that the sinner is now a child of God, they're adopted into God's family. But primarily, when a person by faith, which is the assurance or confidence, by faith, the object of their faith is Jesus Christ. When they place their faith in Jesus Christ, that he has paid for all of their sins, past, present, and future, and rose again from the dead, that is when the person experiences salvation. That is when the Holy Spirit regenerates that person. Now, it's not clear from this statement of faith if there's a Calvinistic agreement, but there is a tendency here. Usually, you'll see this in Calvinistic statements of faith. You'll see regeneration by the Holy Spirit is essential. And this is the eye of Tulip, irresistible grace, that God has picked those who are going to be saved. And those who are going to be saved have to be first given the ability to believe by the Holy Spirit. And that is something that is irresistible. All those who God has picked, they will respond in faith, of which they cannot until God moves first. And they say that first mover is the Holy Spirit regenerating them. Now, The Bible is very clear in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 that after you believe, then you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's when the regeneration occurs. Calvinism flips that because they overvalue the sovereignty of God. I know some of you just, you know, spit out whatever you were eating because that was so shocking to hear. But Calvinism does do that. It overvalues the sovereignty of God to say that man has no free will. And so in order for them to come to an agreement there, they say, man can't have any free will, so God has to move first. They have to be regenerated, and then they will believe. But that's not scripturally correct. The Holy Spirit works on all those who yield and are seeking for the truth. Seeking, you will find. And if a person's seeking, God will bring them to the knowledge of the truth. It's on them to believe that knowledge of the truth. And so it says here, regeneration by the Holy Spirit is essential. Repentance from sin, number one. Acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, number two. So that's an interesting thing. You see here, like I was saying, to close that other point, nothing here about the payment for sin, so on and so forth. They're going to get into that. But as far as this is in non-italics on their website. This is their position. This is what they believe. Okay, so they say you got to turn from your sin. They're not using repent in the proper way that it's used in the Bible, metanoia, a change of mind. They say repentance means to have sorrow and to turn from something, specifically from your sin, and you have to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, they're going to go on to clarify what they mean, so let's take a look here. In italics, under the same statement of faith, it says this, salvation. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures as the substitutionary atonement in our place, and that salvation is found in none other than Jesus Christ. Before creation, God chose those who would be saved. So this is really interesting. God chose those who would be saved and granted this unearned grace solely based on his sovereign good pleasure. So right off the bat, you can see that the teaching of Greg Laurie, at least his church, and this is his church, so this is his stamp of approval, believe that there are those who have been picked to be saved before the foundation of the earth, and that's unearned grace. You see how subtle this stuff is, guys? It's a twist here, a tweak there, and then before you know it, boom, we've got full-blown 1517 John Calvinism. Jesus Christ's death on the cross was the sole and complete payment for sins. Now, they say sins plural here, but this has to just mean the sins of those who God picked. Fully satisfying God's righteous wrath for each person that turns from sin in repentance and places their faith in Christ alone by grace alone. You need to see this here. It is not by faith in Christ alone by grace alone, as they say. It is first those who were granted this unearned grace based solely on his sovereign good pleasure, and those who turn from their sin, and then they believe or have their assurance in Christ. Don't let this stuff fool you. You got to have a nose for this. You got to be able to sniff this stuff out because it's so secretive. That is at least three conditions in order for you to be saved. The Bible says you believe, you receive everlasting life. Why is it that Harvest Church and Greg Laurie teach something different? Because the wisdom of man tries to make the teaching of God foolishness. It's a foolish thing that they just get saved by preaching and hearing the gospel. You can go to 1 Corinthians 1 and look at all of that. Continuing here, at salvation, each person is made a new creation by the Holy Spirit, declared righteous before God, and secured as an adopted child of God forever. Now, you can't say that they're secured as an adopted child of God forever if a condition is they have to continually turn from sin. You cannot say that. That would be saying that God would accept a sinful person to make themselves righteous in his sight by their good works or stopping from that sin. I've used this illustration before. When I used it when I was a youth director, it was funny to the kids. I've used it with adults too, and it's still quite comical. What this is teaching here is a sinner trying to make themselves righteous is the same as a dog trying to act like a chicken. If you have a dog and all of a sudden you walk downstairs in the middle of the night and your dog is in your living room acting like a chicken, barking to simulate some type of chicken noise, and it's on its back legs and it's, you know, just walking around like that, you're immediately thinking something is wrong here. This dog may have all the mannerisms of a chicken, all the audible attempts to be a chicken, but it is by nature. It is not a chicken. Okay, so we have sinners here that are by nature sinners. They are not pure people. We are not perfect people. We need a savior. But this is saying, if you as a sinner try to act as a righteous person, then God will grant you his righteousness. It's against what the Bible teaches. You need to see it. You need to know it. Check this one out here. Genuine faith continues in obedience and love for Jesus Christ with a life eager to glorify and persevere to the end. So earlier I said I didn't know if he had Calvinistic leanings. I now know 100%. He totally has a Calvinistic bias. I would say he is a Calvinist. So you need to see that here. So when I get in here and we have this 3 minute and 10 second video, this is not, I'm looking to throw mud at somebody. I'm bored. I don't have anything else to do. Somebody sent us this because it has discouraged them or it is currently deceiving other people. And we can see by what they write, this is what they say you must do to be saved. First of all, it's unearned, they say. God has to pick you first. Second of all, it's based on your turning from sin. Third of all, it's based on your acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. What does that even mean? I don't know. They don't define it, so it must not be that important. Number four, you have to have genuine conversion, which will be shown in subpoint, a life of obedience, a love for Jesus Christ, and an eagerness to glorify God, and you'll persevere to the end. So it's that simple, folks. Just do these eight things, and you'll kind of know that you're on the right path. What is that? That's not hope. That's not clarity. That's not any kind of peace. It's not the Bible. What does the Bible say? Well, we're going to look, and I want to go here first because for a lot of what we're about to look at in this clip, this verse satisfies it all, and it's in the same book. It's in the same book that he uses. 1 John, okay? 1 John chapter 5. We're going to start here in verse 11. Well, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. Are you paying attention here? The person that believes hath the witness in himself, and I believe that's the Holy Spirit from earlier in the passage. He that believeth not hath made him a liar, because why? Because he didn't turn from sin? Because he didn't have genuine obedience? Because he didn't know that he was picked before the foundation of the world? Because he didn't continue on in eagerness to live for God? No. What's it say? Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Verse 11 tells you what the record is. And this is the record that you need to believe, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son, you've got life, hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Ooh. These things have I written unto you that believe. So there's the qualifier. You believe. It is not some unearned, solely based, sovereign selection of God. You're going to see that later on. It is not a turning from sin in repentance. It is not the genuine faith of obedience, love for Jesus Christ, eager to glorify God, or the perseverance till the end. It is those who believe, period. Except it goes on. Believe what? On the name of the Son of God, that ye, those who believe, may know, you can know it right now, that ye, those who believe, have, you're in possession of something. What kind of life? Eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You've got confidence now. You've got assurance. So having said all of that, we're going to watch a clip. It's about 3 minutes, 10 seconds, where Pastor Greg Laurie goes through five different indicators that you're really a Christian. And we got to talk about this, really a Christian. It's like, I don't really like using that term. I know that people in the book of Acts were first called Christians in Antioch because they were noted as followers of Christ. I like to use the phrase a child of God or a believer, Okay, I'm not anti-Christian terminology. But that can be very confusing. A lost person can do all the things that a Christian person does, but they have not what? Believed. They're not a believer. And I like that John's gospel uses the word believe almost 100 times. That's what's important. You need to believe. So the one who believes is a believer. That's a personal thing. I'm not saying you have to adopt that, but you're going to see how it's misused here. Well, if you want to really know you're a Christian, blah, 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 a Christian will do this, blah, 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 a Christian will do that. Well, there are a lot of people who call themselves Christians, and the world would call them Christians, but they're not even children of God. What's the difference? They didn't do enough works. They're not Christian enough. They don't have enough Christian language. No, it's they haven't believed on Jesus Christ. I know I'm getting fired up here, but please understand where I'm coming from, because this to me is just an attack. It's an attack. It's an attack. It's an attack. All right. Let's roll the clip. Don't forget, if you have already subscribed to Bibleline, make sure that you like, comment, and share this video. If you have not subscribed, hit the red subscribe button and the notification bell. Set it to all so that you get notified every single time that we post a video. And then you can like, comment, and share. All that is helpful to get this message out to more and more people. Have you heard a teacher or have a link that we'd like to take a look at for a React video, send it to us, as well as your Bible questions. You can email us questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. We'll do our best to review it, get you an answer, and even make a video like today. Let's get back to today's video.
Seems whenever I do a Q&A period with anyone, this question comes up. Can a Christian lose their salvation?
I'm a pastor. I've been pastoring I'm in my third year of ministry now. I did youth group for 9 years. When I was 12, I had these same questions. This is the number one question I get. Can a saved person lose their salvation? And then usually the person that asks is wondering themselves if they've lost their salvation. And I would say if you took 10 people and they all asked me that question, there would probably be about 7 out of those 10 that have never put their trust in Jesus Christ alone. They're always depending on a prayer, some sin that they haven't turned from, or that they made Jesus the Lord of their life. You want to know why? Stuff like what you're going to hear today. And that's why I have a bone to pick with it. It's a problem. It needs to stop. But he's not averse. He's not immune to this. He gets the same question.
And the way I like to respond to this question is with another question. Was the person saved to begin with? I think a lot of times we're wondering if a person has lost their salvation when, quite frankly, they may have never really been a genuine believer at all.
All right, so that's a good place to discuss. He says, when I'm asked this question, I usually respond with the question, were they ever saved to begin with? Now, I may ask that same question. I don't ask it out loud. I think in my mind, does this person even understand what is required to get to heaven? Have they even believed? And most of the time, like I said, 7 out of 10, I find out they haven't. They're adding some type of works. But Pastor Greg is going to use this phrase genuine. And you know why he uses the phrase genuine? Because he's going to take that poor lost soul and he's going to put them back under some type of works-based system. He's going to turn their head away from Christ and put them to look in the mirror. Well, have you done enough? Because you'll do this and this and this and this and this if you're genuine. Come on.
Remember in the parable of the sower, Jesus told about the sower that threw a seed that went on ground that was embedded with rock. It shot up quickly, but the rock hindered its deep growth because the roots could not go down. And Jesus said in Mark 4:16.
Now, there's a couple of things here. Yes, I've heard this clip before, so I know where to pause. There's a couple of things here. First of all, if you take your Bible, your King James Bible, and I'm not saying that to be like funny, although it is kind of darkly humorous, you're going to see here what the KJV says and whatever translation he's reading are two totally different planets. It's so much difference. But in Mark chapter 4, he's talking about the parable of the sower. There's four categories of people that receive this knowledge. But you got to understand here, I don't think that, you know, the purpose of these parables here is it's to talk about the response of the individual. I don't think we should read salvation into these. There could be an application of those who hear the gospel message and they're one of these four people. Absolutely. But specifically, the message, the word that was being taught was the kingdom's here. Kingdom's here. There are four type of people that hear that. Okay? And the first category is those who hear it, but they fall to the wayside. It's plucked up before they have any decision to, you know, they just reject it, whatever. They're distracted by the world, whatever it may be. It's described as in Mark 4:4, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. The fowls, the birds of the air came and devoured it. Whatever distractions it was, that person never believed that message that was being given. Category two is those that fell on stony ground. We know from later in the parable, they received it with joy. Okay, but then they got choked up. All right, those are people who received it, but they got lost along the way. You could say that person illustrates a saved person, but contextually here, it's talking about the message of the kingdom. Then the third category is those that got choked up by thorns. And then the fourth category is those that fell on good soil and they were fruitful. This is all about the person and how they respond to messages or to the word of the kingdom, and we can apply it to those who respond to the gospel, Christian living, all that kind of stuff. But it's important to recognize here, he's going to say in verse 16, he's going to add, because of the translation that he's using, it's going to add so many other qualifiers. Here's Matthew 4:16 in the King James Bible. And these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Here's what he says.
These are like those that hear the word. They respond with great enthusiasm, but they're such shallow soil of character that when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arrives, there's nothing to show for it.
What? I had to like re-listen to it. He's looking down the whole time. Now, I can't find what he's talking about. I don't know if this is him adding it. Maybe it's the Amplified Bible, because the Amplified Bible sometimes does this. It tries to add things for the sake of clarity, but most of the time it just junks it up. But boy, that sounds a lot worse than what we see in the King James of Mark 4:16. But he uses this as an example that people can get saved and then they fall away. So they were never really saved. Let's continue.
No. You don't work for your salvation, you work it out.
So that's another phrase that it would sound biblical. You work out your salvation with fear and trembling, not to make sure that you're saved, but out of Christian obedience, out of the requirements that God has for his children. You need to be obedient. You need to demonstrate what has been done for you. That's not a marker that you're, you know, truly saved. It means you're obedient as a child of God. But the way he's using it here in conjunction with his statement of faith, genuine faith continues in obedience. So you need to work out what you really are, otherwise you were never really saved to begin with. But boy, that's a hard message. That's not biblical. You believe John 5:24, you're passed from death into life, you'll never be brought into condemnation again. Never.
And if a person really is a Christian, there will be evidence in their life. Works don't save a person, but they're a good evidence.
So see, I think he's got to say that, because the first part, it makes it sound like you've got to work to be saved. But he says, we're not saved by works, but they're a good evidence. Well, sure, our works are evidences of, you know, what we believe, but God does not honor those works for eternal life. There's a difference here. You got justified the moment that you believed, and now you're going to be held accountable for the things that you do at the judgment seat of Christ. But you're going to be judged by the law of liberty, not by the law of Moses. The people who are judged by the standard of righteousness from God are those who will be at the great white throne judgment. These are two totally, you know, different things here. And you've got to see it. You got to see it and understand it. All right, now, next week we're going to get into his five reasons here for how you can know that you're really saved. And we're going to talk all about that. I pray this has been helpful for you. I wanted to spend the time doing this because I want you to understand the way that we can come to these conclusions. I am not cherry picking things. I'm not out here headhunting because I ain't got nothing to do. Folks, I got plenty to do, and this is a part of it. I want you to understand that these people, no matter how loving or kind they may seem, they're making mistakes. And it's not, let's just pile on them. We need to pray that this pastor comes to a change of mind and starts teaching the Bible correctly. But make sure you send us your video clips, your questions. Email us, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to make a reaction video. We'll certainly get a response to you as quickly as we can. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. God bless. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.